So shout out to the New Yorkers in the audience and the Squamites as well, with a happy birthday wish, several happy birthday wishes, including Tessa. Gonna put some music on for a bit, and then my first guests are here, as are my second and third guests. Have a listen, stay tuned. Thanks so much for being here. CoastRadio.org, wherever you are in the world.
J'explore le silence. Surtout ne bouge pas, car je sais qu'ici, tous les soirs, quand s'installe la nuit, un espoir favori, c'est l'autodéfense. Le sang continue de couler chaque jour. Fabrique de la peur, mais les nuages. Partout à portée de fusil, à la portée d'un fou. Partout à portée vos fusils, à la portée de tous. Oh, just a shot away, just one shot.
Eric John Kaiser will be playing tonight at the Sand Trap in Gearhart. He comes often. He's Paris-born, Portland-living, and has quite the diversity in his music. Well, I'm welcoming my first guests, and I'm very pleased to have them here. They are an incredible group producing a play this evening, opens this evening, runs tonight, tomorrow night, and then Thursday and Friday of next week. It's called Frozen, but you need to know this is Bryony Lavery's. Lavery's?
Bryony Lavery.
Oh, there we go. I should have asked you before. Bryony Lavery. And that is actually a woman, which you also might not have known. Her 1998 Barclays Award she received for Best New Play. This is an adults-only version. So despite the title, that might kind of send you thinking about some other productions. It's a courageous and poetic telling of a murderer, his victim's mother, and his psychologist, or perhaps psychiatrist, I believe. And it's a play about revenge, grief, mercy, love, caring. And Susie Brown is here, the director and the chooser of the play, to give us a little bit of background. And then I've got Derek Moore and Tony Eihander and Rhonda Alderman, who are the players. Welcome, all of you.
Thank you, Carol.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I saw the play. I saw the dress rehearsal. It is very, very powerful, and it is amazingly well done. Susie.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the play. What I didn't say here, and what made you decide to choose this play?
Well, you've actually covered the big ideas of it, so I'll talk about how it came to be in my lap. I was actually looking for another play and saw this title and thought, well, I'll read about this. And when I read about it, it piqued my interest. So I invited some people over last summer to read through it. After that, it provoked a lot of discussion. And I thought, I think I would like to direct that. So here I am. One of the reasons why it piqued my interest is because right now, like many of us, struggling with this loss of idealism, so it sort of rang some bells there. And also my inability sometimes to forgive real and imagined slights, and this play is very much about forgiveness. Surprisingly so. And I also have this sometimes debilitating fear of losing something, be it friendship or even a piece of jewelry. And all those three things are explored in one way or another in this play.
I read that this play is one of the most frequently done. And that really surprised me. I read it after I saw the play. And it's gotten all kinds of awards. And it's also done as a reading, which is the way you're doing it, which may make it even more powerful, at least for me, because the words are, and the way the three of your actors portray them.
I think one of the reasons why it's so frequently done is because it has these powerful roles for actors. And you have to go places you ordinarily would not do. And that's one thing that actors like to try on. Besides, the big ideas are so powerful.
Absolutely. So let's see. Shall I start with you, Derek?
Sure.
Did you have any idea what the play was about when Susie invited you for a reading?
No clue. Never heard of it. Never heard the author.
And so, as she mentioned, that actors like to go deeper.
Yeah. Well, the tagline for it is serial killing. Is it a forgivable act? So that's the only thing we knew was the tagline, which is a quite interesting thought in itself.
Rather provocative. Yeah.
Provocative. makes you immediately potentially have opinion. Seemed like, well, I kind of want to read about this because of what do they say? So that's all we had to go on.
And did you come to a conclusion on that?
No, I personally did not. And I think that's one of the brilliant aspects of the play is she presents a real tapestry of human experience without shoving anything down your throat. It's like taking a look at all these different aspects of what humans are capable of, the highs and the lows both between these three people. And it's done in a very artistic and powerful way that does not, it's not preachy, I don't think. That attracted me to it.
Were the directions there for the way you started the play, or did you decide on that? The three actors sitting and stepping up.
Well, in the play, the stage directions are for a mounted show, which means they would not be reading it.
Okay, because I found that also gave it a really powerful beginning for me, just sitting and watching and having one person at a time while the other two, I guess perhaps the way I did, remained frozen. I was definitely paralyzed in my seat. So fortunately, it wasn't cold in the room, but I mean, holding the way each of you held for long periods, either a pose or you might be looking directly out. It was excellent. It was just, yeah. So, Tony,
yes.
tell us about your experience.
You mean just with the show?
And your part is the?
The mother of one of the children's kids that he abuses and kills. This is terrible to say, but I've thoroughly enjoyed playing it. Because you get to act. And there's a lot of meat in this. So, of course, yeah, thoroughly.
Have you ever done
it.
Anything like this? Because you've been in. I mean, all
I've
three
played,
of you are veteran actors.
Well, I've played serious parts before. I've never actually played a mother of someone that's been murdered.
Yeah.
But I've played other dramatic parts. But, yeah, this part's
where you have
different.
To, where there's such deep emotion going on.
I've played other parts with deep emotion, but this one has a lot of deep, deep emotion. And, yeah, I think it's interesting, though. You just kind of get into it and those emotions just come out for whatever reason. I'm not really sure why they come out. Obviously, I've never experienced anything like this, but I don't know. Just the way it's written, I guess. You get caught up in it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you actually have quite a range of emotions, too, because you also have another daughter in the play.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so it's really fun to play because I get to do different emotions.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Rhonda, I'm getting to you. Rhonda's got her hand on her stomach. Come on into the... folks, we're opening tonight, I should mention, at 7:30 at Kala. This is at Kala on 1017 Marine Drive in Astoria. So, Rhonda, what's this been like for you? Another veteran actor. And have you directed... Ever?
Many years ago, yes.
Many years ago. How about you, Tony?
No.
No. And Derek?
No.
No. Okay. So, Rhonda, how was this? Now, your part was quite different, or seemed to be quite different, coming in as the psychiatrist who is investigating the very thesis, talking about evil and sin, and not in a religious way, just trying to figure it all out.
Yes. Goodness, I think I told the other cast members and the director recently, this is one of the most challenging things I've ever been asked to do. It's been difficult, not only because my character covers quite a range of emotional states, but because of the material, the darkness of the material, and it really makes you think, what do I believe about this? And I, like Derek, I don't think I came to a conclusion either.
Yeah, I certainly didn't, even at the end of the play. And I wasn't in it. I was just observing it. So who do you recommend, Susie? Who do you recommend perhaps we'll go the other way. Who do you recommend not come to the play? This is adults only.
Mm-hmm. Certainly no children. And I would say no one, when I say children, no one middle school and younger. I believe there are some high school students who would be fascinated by it.
Mm-hmm.
And it would provoke certainly some discussion for them. I think any adult could come to it, but it depends upon whether they want to see there. First of all, there's no graphic description of what happens to the victims. There is language in it. So if you're sensitive to language, and there is some language that we just don't listen to very often or don't wish to hear, then it's probably not for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're extremely, if you've had this experience, then perhaps you might not want to attend this.
Mm-hmm.
But it is an amazing performance of three very, very powerful characters, frozen in their own ways, within emotions, their actions, their situations in which they've found themselves. And there are...
Development.
Development of who... Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
And apparently, some of this material, well, we know, even without having read it, that some of this is based on real stories, from the psychiatrist to also the serial killer.
One of the things Susie helped us with to get into the meat of the play was to read the book that this was based on, and which was, talk about a great way of researching, finding out exactly, because the play is written in a kind of a poetic style, and if you're not paying attention to every detail, not a single word is wasted. You might skip over some of the sort of details of the storyline, but in this book, it's all there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all experienced a kind of chilling nature of reading about this guy who was a real person in Great Britain, who basically got away with this for something like 20 odd years.
Yeah.
And so that makes it a little bit more real.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just someone's thought. It's an actual person. And even though she didn't, it's still a fictional play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that brought it an extra bit of weight.
And I have to say that I'd forgotten that you had actually lived in Scotland.
Yeah.
Did that help with the accent? Because your accent is impeccable.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty critical about these things. And I was very impressed. You were completely consistent.
Thank you.
And terrifying at times. So.
I'm going to say thank you.
definitely.
That's the thing. If we all pull off our character roles, we are going to be nothing like our actual selves.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's the point of this.
Absolutely. And I understand you are going to have a talk back on Thursday night, is that right?
Thursday night, yes.
Okay. So, but if you have questions... If someone has questions after the play, they might just try to hang out. I don't know if you guys can sneak out of Kala without going out the front door. So you might be able to talk to somebody or think about it. There's a lot to think about. But in the meantime, it is an exquisite piece. And it is, again, opening this evening at 7:30 at Kala. I'm going to let Susie say the name, even though I got the Bryony, but...
Frozen by Bryony Lavery.
Okay. And it was apparently written in the late 90s, and she is British herself.
Yes, she is.
Okay. But the play is being done all over the place. The write-up, one of the write-ups I read was from San Diego. Also want to mention that Bill Hamm, one of our Coast Community Radio programmers, did the sound design.
Yes, he did.
And it is very significant. It really, I think, moves the play along. It's very, very well done. So check it out. If you want to check it out beforehand, you can find it on the web and see if this works for you. I assure you that what you'll be reading is that it's an incredible play. So I hope that three of you break your legs tonight, and Susie, you can stay intact. And thank you all for doing the production.
Thanks,
it
girl.
Is at Kala, and it's, I believe it's Peer Pressure Production in Kala.
Well, it's sort of, a few leftover folks from Peer Pressure.
Okay. One of the vibrant theater scenes or theater groups that we have had in this area. Thank you so much. My guest, Susie Brown, the director, Derek Moore, Tony Eihander, and Rhonda Alderman. Thanks.
Thank you, Carol.
Thanks.
And I have some music from Tom Grant. And this is actually Tom Grant and Valerie Day. Tomorrow night at the Coaster Theater, Tom Grant and Shelley Rudolph are performing. Have a listen. Stay tuned. Coast Community Radio. Thanks for being here.
I like like in June. How about you?
I like a Gershwin tune. How about you?
I like the fireside when a storm is due.
I like potato chips, moonlight, and motor trips. How about you?
I'm mad about good books, can't get my fill.
And Harry Connick's looks give me a thrill.
Holding hands in a movie show when all the lights are low may not be new, but I like it. How about you? Trips. How about you?
I'm mad about good books, can't get my fill.
And Greta Garbo's looks give me such a thrill. Holding hands in a movie show when all the lights are low may not be new, but I like it. How about you?
Well, I can tell you what I do like. That's Tom Grant again. And Tom Grant and Shelley Rudolph from Portland are going to be at the Coaster in concert tomorrow evening. And before that, tomorrow at 3 o'clock, my next guest is going to be performing. And he is very familiar to this audience because I grab him every year from the Astoria Music Festival to help us navigate. But this time, he and this is Carrie Lewis. Who else?
Hello, everybody.
Pianist Carrie Lewis. Thank you so much for getting here, Carrie.
Well, it worked.
It worked just in time. And Carrie Lewis and Sarah Kwok are going to be playing a concert tomorrow. That's the 20th of January, Saturday, at 3 p.m. in the McTavish Room of the Liberty Theater. Now, in the past, we've just sort of called them Lewis and Kwok.
Yes,
and
Lewis and Kwok.
Yeah. We really like that because it's, you know, if you don't know what we're talking about, then obviously you haven't studied American history or you don't live around here. I don't think I ever studied about Lewis and
Kwok.
Definitely not quite. But tell us about Sarah.
Sarah is just one of the most wonderful violinists you'll ever hear anywhere. Plus, she's a really sweet person.
Yes, this is true. And she's been coming to Astoria for a number of years now.
I think ever since she's become, since she moved to Oregon. So.
Okay. What's her role in Oregon?
She's a concertmaster at the Oregon Symphony.
Yeah. And I agree. A delightful person, as well as a consummate musician. This is the McTavish Room, which
means... Yes, it's the McTavish Room. You want to make sure you go to the McTavish Room.
Upstairs. And the good thing about that is it is an intimate setting. And I love that, to be around you two in a small setting where we can actually be up close and personal.
If you get there early enough to sit close enough, you'll see the red of my eyes and the white of her eyes.
Oh, dear. I'm not sure. Are you spending the night here tonight?
Yes.
Oh, good. At least you're not driving back and forth. That's a good thing. So tell us what the concert is.
Well, we'll start with a nice, delightful little piece by Fritz Kreisler that he wrote at the time when other people were writing ugly music.
When was that?
Oh, well, you know, in the early part of the 20th century, everybody thought in order to write good music, you had to write ugly music. Well, he didn't like that kind of music, but he knew that if he was going to be taken seriously, that he had to write that kind of music. So what he did was he discovered all these pieces in people's attics.
Oh, my goodness.
Air quotes. He discovered these pieces.
Oh, that's hysterical.
And so this is a piece by Pugnani that he discovered.
Oh, yes. I think that was my second cousin's third uncle. Yes, of course.
So anyway, that's a fairly short thing because the rest of the first half is taken up by a fairly long thing, which is really it's a concerto by Szymanowski. Szymanowski, it is one of those early 20th century pieces, but you know, it does have some notes in it that don't sound quite right. It's a piece that I always tell people, that's the reason they call them accidentals. but if you listen to it and close your eyes and think you're watching Star Wars, it'll fit. It'll fit really, really well because it starts off with this sort of quiet thing, like, what's going to happen? Something's it's kind of spooky beginning. And then you have the battle scenes where the starfighters are going after each other. You have the love theme that comes back periodically. and it's just, it's really, really good, I think, if you listen to it from the perspective of what movie you would be watching while this music is going on.
I see.
Because let's face it, some of the music that you hear in movies
is
sort of grating and so forth, and because grating things are happening in the movie.
And in the world, too. Yes, uh-huh. So maybe we don't even have to go to a movie. Maybe we can just think about what's going on.
Okay.
Now
we don't have to go there.
Now, you chose these pieces, you and Sarah?
Well, she's got to play this later on this season with the symphony.
Ah.
We're trotting it out and giving it a run through so that she'll feel perfectly comfortable.
Lucky us. That's terrific. That's nice. So we get the preview.
So that's the first half. Mm-hmm. Second half, let me think. Oh, yes. The second half is a Beethoven sonata. Which is kind of interesting because it's really sort of delightful, even though I found out yesterday he had just discovered that he was going deaf, and he wasn't very happy about it.
Oh,
but it's really kind of fun. It's got all sorts of accents and louds and softs that come in totally unexpected places. It's really kind of humorous, which is not, you think of Beethoven as a guy who's always shaking his jowls when he plays with anger, and this doesn't fit that at all.
Quick question. What's the balance in that last one, for example, between the piano and the violin? Is it pretty much you're both playing
the whole time? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I don't remember when I played a piece that had more notes in it than that.
Wow. Oh, how exciting.
Yeah.
I love watching you play.
I'll be accompanying, but I'll be...
exhausted.
Trying to stay out of the way. and then the last piece that we're doing, you know, in honor of the Scandinavian heritage here, we're doing a very, very attractive Grieg sonata.
Nice. So this is a concert for all ages, unlike my last guest, and it is 3 p.m. tomorrow, the 20th. Now, how did you and Sarah get together to start playing music?
A mutual friend got us in touch, even when she was still in Minneapolis.
Oh, really?
Before she came, said, you know, you guys should get together when you get out there. And so that was it. One thing, I'm holding up a finger here.
Yes.
And it's
I'll
an okay finger. It's free tomorrow.
Oh,
it doesn't cost anything. We do have a suggested donation of $20, but you know, if you don't want to spend $20, then you can just come anyway. This is a total experiment. I've never played a program in the McTavish Room. I have no idea how many people to expect.
Oh.
I'm hoping that this can be the beginning of a new series of things where we can do stuff periodically up there in the McTavish Room, where we don't need to fill the whole hall downstairs to feel like we've accomplished something. But
Have you been in the McTavish Room, though?
Well, I've certainly practiced there
You've
many
been
times.
Practicing, yeah, but not as a because it is a it's a beautiful.
It's
space.
A beautiful space. I'm hoping that they're going to put the piano under the chandelier in there over in the corner.
Yeah, yeah.
And as a matter of fact, as soon as I leave here, I'm going to go over there and practice now a little bit and see what it's like.
So, nice. Well, I from my side, I guess I met Carrie. Were you here the very beginning of the Astoria Music Festival?
No, I didn't show up until 4 or 5 years into
really?
It. Really? Yeah, I was a late bloomer.
I feel like I don't know how I've survived without you on the AMF because I've, as I say, dependent on Carrie since then. For one thing, he's an amazing pianist and can play with anyone. I don't know if he does play with anyone. He may sort of throw some folks off the edge there, but he is also one of the funniest performers I know with this dry sense of humor and often gives commentary and keeps everybody involved. You can hear it right here. So and Sarah is not as funny, but but she's a fabulous
She really takes things very, very seriously. I don't know anybody. I know that she practices. She gets up in the morning and practices. It feels like she practices scales for 2 hours before she starts practicing. She goes to work.
Wow. I would say this is going to be a gorgeous concert. I have seen Carrie, Lewis and Kwok. I have seen them a couple of times, actually, in other venues in Astoria, as a matter of fact. And it always absolutely delights the audience. So thank you so much for coming back, for both of you coming back.
Well, it's kind of interesting to actually come in here and see what it's like talking to you in the wintertime.
I know, because you're only here in the spring for the music festival. Well, I hope this does become a regular thing.
I have some ideas. Jennifer Crockett and I have been sort of talking about this and that and the other, about some other possibilities of things to do, and we'll just see where it goes from here.
So at the music festival, you've always been in charge of the chamber part of the whole festival.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you have many musicians at your fingertips. So.
Well, I hope we get people who want to come. And I want to work with people here, too.
Oh.
Yes, I have several ideas that involve people who are here.
Wow, that would be fun. So. As a matter of fact, I doubt you do know this, and then I'm going to let you go, that a couple of weeks ago, David Hall was here to talk about Sergei and Ilya's performance.
Yes.
And he handed me a CD, and I put it on, and we played it. And then he announced that was actually Sergei and Carrie playing.
Yeah, and he told me afterwards that it was a little bit slower than...
Oh, you're not Russian enough. Well, you're... oh, dear, I didn't even mean that. Oh, my goodness.
There it goes.
Anyway, it's catching. Carrie Lewis, my guest, and again, Carrie Lewis and Sarah Kwok in performance tomorrow afternoon, 3 p.m. at the McTavish Room. That's 12th. And commercial. I'm not sure which entrance.
The entrance is the room is on 12th Street. On 12th Street entrance that goes directly to the McTavish Room.
It's just south of commercial. And you just come right in, come on upstairs, and you will be guaranteed delighted.
Hopefully you'll be greeted by somebody at a table, but you can ignore them if you want to.
There you go. Thank you so much, Carrie.
Thanks for for inviting me in.
Absolutely. And I don't have any of their music, but I've got something from Hollis Peach. They're going to be at the Peninsula Pack on Saturday. Let's have a listen, and my next guests will be in.
Go to sleep, Mrs. Henry, 'cause I've been losing my mind, I've been losing my mind, I've been losing my mind. Down the street, Mrs. Henry, the kids are breaking the rules, the kids are breaking the rules, the kids are breaking the rules, the kids are breaking the rules.
send them back to school. Mrs. Henry, 'cause I've been losing my mind, I've been losing my mind, I've been losing my mind. And don't you worry, Mrs. Henry, kids are doing fine, the kids are doing fine, kids are doing fine, kids are doing fine, get on your property.
Is Hollis Peach, and they're going to be at the Peninsula Pack Performing Arts Center in Long Beach tomorrow at 7 p.m. My guests are all the way from the Manzanita Writers Series. I have Kathy Hightower and Vera Wildauer. Hi, women's. I'm so glad you made it up here. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for inviting us.
It's been a bit of a whirlwind.
Yes.
They are, well, they're both extremely active in the Tri-Cities, in the Manzanita, Nehalem Wheeler area, especially Manzanita. And they are celebrating 10 years of programming. That's fabulous, just fabulous. And this is in writing. And it starts tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. with Deborah Reed is starting off, kicking off the whole. How long is this going to go on? The celebration, your program.
Well, we were celebrating all year since it's the 10th year, and we're excited to have Deborah being the one kicking it off because she's been a reader there before and then, in fact, eventually move there full time. We love to draw authors
I like
to the coast.
That. You,
yes.
You did a good job on that when you just kind of sucked them right in.
That's right.
Good job. And then you have people coming.
Not every month, but
almost every month. People in mainly in the off season, not so much the summertime. So
very
February,
wise.
March. Yes.
Nice.
Yes. In the summer, we like to see the sunset. Yeah.
Let me ask you right off the bat. And then I'm going to write it down and we'll repeat it. A website, or if somebody wants to actually have it in front of their faces, what's going on and when, mm-hmm. where do they go?
Yeah, hoffmanblog.org. And there is a tab for programming, and you can click on the writing program. We have all sorts of things going on, actually, not just the featured authors who come to do their readings, but we also just recently started our online critique.
Yeah, I announced
group.
That, although yeah. I don't quite understand. I think was Jenny Shortridge one
right.
of you
yes.
people,
mm-hmm.
and she's been here many
yes.
years ago.
Yes,
she actually was the first online, one of the first online teachers. We're starting a Hoff Online so that we can have writing workshops and then other workshops where people can't get to us geographically or time-wise. And the online writing critique group, the idea is for those of us who, again, either because of work or because of travel or because of geographic location, can't get to a weekly writing group to exchange ideas. It's an online weekly group, and with the added plus of having two very well-published and experienced authors and teachers mm-hmm. giving critique as well as your fellow participants. So we're very excited about that.
Now, do you still have room in that, or did you fill it up?
We filled up the first session, which is really exciting. That went pretty quick.
Good for you.
So we will have another session that will start probably in late March.
Wow.
We'll see how this first round goes.
You are amazing. This is so exciting. You just brought that place to life, and it just keeps moving. I think more, in addition to people moving to Manzanita, now you're going out
right.
and beyond. Did any of the people who signed up come from far away, or are they mostly Pacific Northwest?
For the online?
online. Definitely Pacific Northwest, but a lot of them are people that maybe have a cottage in Manzanita, but they also live in Portland or Seattle.
Right.
And this is just a great way for us to extend our instruction and learning beyond just a Saturday workshop for those folks, definitely.
Okay, so now what about this, the Manzanita Writers series that's happening tomorrow night and beyond? And there's also a Q&A and there's an open mic.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we bring in authors, regional authors, to read from their latest work. And that's in the first hour. They do a reading and talk and Q&A. And then we have book sales and signings. We partner with our great independent bookstore, Cloud and Leaf, to do the book sales all through the year. And then we have an open mic where up to 9 local or visiting writers can read 5 minutes of their original work. It has to be their original work, not reading of somebody else. And
do they come in early and sign up?
No, they just sign up at the door first come, first served to get it done.
Democracy.
Right. So, and we're very excited about the year. I won't read the whole list of people coming in, but we have Renee Denfeld coming in with her Child Finder, which has been getting a lot of press, and a one that will probably cause a lot of Q&A and discussion, American War by Omar El Akkad. And if any listeners haven't looked at that, check that out. It's a pretty interesting novel.
And tell us just briefly about each of you, what you're doing in your own creative.
Well, I will say I'm Kathy, and Vera and I founded the writer series together in 2008 we're both new here and we wanted to connect to the writing community and to have a writing community out at the coast, not to have to drive to Portland for everything, which seemed to be the case at the time. I've always written mostly self-help and nonfiction, a lot of journalistic. I have a couple of books out, but they're targeted. I used to do workshops for military spouses worldwide, and so they're focused on that. So now my goal is to switch to fiction, which is a very big jump for me. And I'm very excited about the online critique group. And then Deborah Reed is going to be conducting a weekly novel writing group where we meet in person. So we've sort of helped create the workshops we need to do our own writing.
Right. See, this is what happens. We bring creative people to the coast and they don't get to retire here.
Right? No. I've worked harder now than I ever have, I think.
And Vera, you've been here before on arts,
right.
I know,
mm-hmm.
but what's your background or what are you doing now?
I have mainly been writing fiction, short fiction, and I've been working on a novel for 12 years. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to be one of those people. Finally, you'd get it published, you know, at 20 years maybe. So I write a lot of fiction and poetry. And
it's good to have a goal like that because that means you'll be around for that long. You have to stick around in order to finish it.
Right.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about Deborah Reed's book that's happening tomorrow night?
Right. It's called The Days When When Birds Come Back, and it's really about two people who end up kind of tossed together, and both of them are overcoming very difficult situations in their past and are returning to a place, and that would be the Oregon coast, and sort of disguised Manzanita. Lots of locals will recognize some of the people and places there, although they're not specifically stated. So. Mm-hmm. And it's really their story of overcoming grief. The setting plays a big, big role. Mm. And, of course, the writing is just incredible, beautiful writing.
So I've read, gorgeous and wise prose. It was one of the kind, emotionally searing novel of second chances, too. Which is,
And that's our open mic theme, by the way, second chances.
Oh, nice.
So
nice.
If you have a piece that fits there, by all means, come on down.
Fantastic. Well, I am thrilled that you two ended up here and decided to create. Now, the Hoffman was there, but it was not quite what it is today.
It was in its infancy. And now there's all kinds of different things going on.
Absolutely.
Which is wonderful.
Art gallery as well. And
yes.
Music and constantly.
Clay studio and film series and all kinds of things.
I think that's a good idea. HoffmanBlog.org. I get it in my mailbox. You can sign up for it too, listeners, and you will find out it's wonderful, and there's usually two or three things going on in a day, actually, some in the afternoon and then in the evening, and it's right there in Manzanita, and you don't even need an address in Manzanita because everything is on Lanita, and you can find it. So Kathy Hightower and Vera Wildauer, thank you so much for creating this program, this using and creating this space, building on the space, and for coming up here to share this with our listeners. Please keep in touch, and you'll come back another time.
Yeah. Thanks for inviting us.
You bet.
Thank you.
Okay. And I have a couple of other folks in the studio, and while Kathy and Vera are leaving, I will tell you a little bit about what else is going on, and then bring in my last guests. Again, tonight, Frozen opens at Kala, the Barn Community Playhouse in Tillamook, 7 o'clock, Edge of Darkness, Friday and Saturday. Sunday is 2 o'clock. Labor Temple is got a monthly, it's starting their monthly stand-up comedy show, Cheap Whiskey and Dirty Jokes. That's at 8 p.m. And Sandtrap has Eric John Kaiser. The Adrift, music every night. That's in Long Beach. Rockfish has blues. It's Rockfish is the band. Blues at 7 o'clock at North Beach Tavern. Tomorrow, huge day. Turn in our area and many other areas. Of course, it's the first year anniversary of the Women's March. Tillamook is having a Women's March at 11 a.m. Indivisible North Coast Oregon is putting on an all-day happening called Turn the Tide. It's at the Lovell Room at the Fort George. That'd be 14th and Duane, right down the street from KMUN. And 8:30 to 4:30, they've got workshops going on. And then from 4:30 to 6, run for something. And that's it. You're not going to be physically running. You're going to check out how you can step into one of these posts and take leadership. And no matter what age you are, young is great. And then in the evening from 8 to 10, Rock the Resistance with the fabulous DJ Joey Altruda. The Labor Temple tomorrow night has 7 Cake Candy. It's Techno Glam Dance 21+. The Liberty again, Lewis and Quack at 3 p.m. That is in the McTavish Room on 12th Street. Peninsula Pack, Hollis Peach. The Coaster, Tom Grant and Shelley Rudolph. Sou'wester is happening all over the place, and you're going to hear about that in a minute. And the AAMC, the Astoria Arts and Movement Center, Tango is happening tomorrow night and Wednesday next. Sunday, Debbie Lloyd is having a farewell concert. She was our accompanist with the North Coast Chorale and so much more. 3 p.m. She's also an artist. At 3 p.m. at the Astoria Christian Church on Harrison. This is Sunday. Mike Koikendahl is at the Fort George. Cannon Beach Community Church, 2:30. Music lasts a lifetime with our very own Dee Guidi. And then at 6 o'clock with a couple of our other very owns, Jennifer Goodenberger and Wes Warmond, in Evensong. And Sunday Afternoon Live, On the Rocks, University of Oregon Men's A Cappella. Wednesday, Repair Cafe and Cannon Beach Arts Association, 5 p.m. Seascapes. Workshop at the Cannon Beach Gallery. At the their other one, the Mixed Media Composition and Collage on Saturday. Tomorrow is at the Cannon Beach History Museum, even though it's a Cannon Beach Arts Association function. Thursday, Astoria Arts and Movement Center is having an Afro-Carib dance workshop, 6:30 with drummer live. Seaside Library, 7 o'clock, is Adam Miller on the auto harp. And Seth Titchener is giving, Seth and God are giving their Philosopharian at the Lovell Room on Thursday, the 25th. Not enough to do around here, you say? Well, here's some more. My last guests, brand new to me, and that would be Melissa Laurie. Hi, Melissa.
Hello.
And Dickie Dahl.
That's right.
Was that the guy who did the... who was the guy who did the
surf
music?
Rock?
Yeah, the surf.
That's Dick Dale.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, okay. It's very different.
I see. Okay.
No offense, though.
No offense. No, but nothing like, no, because you're actually out there doing crazy things, unlike him, who's creating
crazy things.
Crazy,
yeah.
Things. Crazy things on the land.
The name of their web series is Crazy Possible. Perhaps you've caught it. Personally, I'm not even sure what a web series is, so, you know, that shows you they're a lot younger than I am. However, they did do this. They traded in, this is, quote, traded in security and comfort for 3 months on the Continental Divide Trail. And let me tell you, they look terrific. So when was that?
That was actually the summer of, well, August of 2015.
Into the fall, winter. Yeah.
So did you look this good when you got off the trail, or were you a mess?
I think I looked better.
Had you done that kind of stuff before, either of you?
No. I mean, I've been a big camper and you know, I got overnight backpacker for some time.
But it's a big theme of our series, actually, is the discordance between us, where he has a lot more experience in the outdoors and a lot more comfort, and I'm very new.
Yes, and excuse me, you were, maybe still are, a public health practitioner.
I was.
This changed your life?
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. Our lives are always constantly evolving,
right.
But yeah.
But you know how to care and keep yourselves healthy.
Yes.
That was one of your roles here.
Well, no, it was more of the organizing and figuring out the logistics.
Okay.
Right? Like our public health practitioners are the people who are responsible for the, you know, how the water gets clean and
right.
all those little details that you don't see.
Right. So you know how to put that together. How did you decide to do this? What prompted this?
Well, I think we're both at a little bit of a crossroads in our lives. Melissa... You can.
Yeah, 15 years in the same profession, you get sort of stuck in some places and you have to figure out how you're going to grow. And for me, it was this big realization that I could do something wild and crazy, which was to actually just take a break.
Mm-hmm.
I was a very like type A, very, you know, successful New York City doing all of this stuff personality.
Are you from New York?
Not originally. I'm from the East Coast. But yeah, that same, that energy of just have to get it all done.
I know. I'm from Brooklyn, and you don't sound like a New Yorker.
No. But
the
I spent a lot of time.
There.
Yeah.
So, who suggested it?
I came about on a camping trip on Valentine's Day of 2015.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she was talking about feeling a little stagnant in her job. And we had found a common love of camping, and we thought, what would be, imagine if we could take 3 months off to just go camping. And, of course, it wasn't that simple.
But then there's such liberation in realizing that you can do some of these things.
You must do them. You must.
Yeah, it was huge. Yeah.
Liberation is a good word, too, for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was, I'm coming from a filmmaking background, and I had just completed a feature film, and which was... A lot of work. It was 10 years of my life, and now I was bringing it out into the world, and it was, I was just, you know, encountering the difficulties of getting your film out into the world today as
right.
an independent
Marketing.
Filmmaker.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's
and
the worst.
Right, you get the book published, but then it just is there, you know?
And
so challenging.
I was attracted to the liberation of just getting out and shooting again and getting back to the, you know, the craft of it.
So you carried all your equipment with you, or did you carry small equipment or what?
I carried small equipment. I sold my camera and bought a smaller camera,
okay.
And I had a small microphone mounted on top of it, and really that was most of the equipment that we made do with out on the trail, because the last thing I wanted to do was carry a lot of heavy equipment.
I'm thinking that's not very liberating to be carrying a bunch of heavy equipment.
You're thinking right.
Now, I understand you created something in Portland, Great Notions Creative Collective. Is that a
Great
film?
Great Notion Filmmaker Collective.
It's a filmmaker collective.
So it's an effort between me and a few other independent filmmakers to come together and create this label, Great Notion, as a way of pooling our resources, as a way of collaborating, as a way of promoting the label, and as a way of promoting all of our films together. And Crazy Possible does fall under the Great Notion banner.
And Crazy Possible because it was a crazy notion, but it was possible. And you did it.
We did it.
And it wasn't just about, you know, whether we could accomplish this, taking 3 months off to backpack the trail. It was much more about finding the crazy possible in our lives. And can we find a way to make creative, you know, the pursuit of creative satisfaction a large part of our lives and have that be sustainable? I mean, in some ways, it's the, you know, the question of how to pursue a life as an artist, really.
Yeah. And you were already practicing your art form. Do you feel that this trip changed you internally, changed the way you work, changed your attitude? And I mean, I know with Melissa, it had to do that, but I'm going to get to you, too.
So. I'm in no rush.
That was New York. Dickie Dahl, tell us,
how did this
work for you?
Well, you know, I think it did really bring me back to the basics of artistic creation and just getting out and doing. And there was that liberation of getting away from just overthinking the whole deal. You know, when I set out to make that feature film that I mentioned, just the idea of being able to complete that film seemed like a crazy dream. And yet by the end of it, I was all caught up in the idea of, you know, what kind of money I might be able to make off of the film. So it brought me back to the basics of artistic creation, put me back in touch with that inspiration, I think, of just getting out and feeding off of your environment. And
well, you might get off the hook because I just noticed the clock, and I want to ask you, what are folks, you're doing two different things.
Yes.
Tomorrow evening from 6 to 8 is a screening, and that's
a five-episode series, they're about 10 to 15 minutes each. And it is happening what time?
Six to eight
at the Sou'wester Lodge in Seaview, Washington.
Right.
And so that's tomorrow's deal. And then on Sunday, we're hosting a workshop called How We Share Nature.
And that's from 10 to 3. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do
It's supposed to include a guided hike, but we'll see what the weather deals us. And then we have a video presentation of some different artists talking about how they share nature. And then we'll be having discussion and some soup and some hot sauna.
And
it's supposed to be like a little mini retreat.
Have you played at the Sou'wester before?
This is my first time playing at the Sou'wester.
They're fabulous,
I love
right?
them. Yeah, I
it's
love
fabulous.
Them.
Great yeah. place.
And have you been on radio before?
We have been on X-Ray FM.
X-Ray, that's right. I love X-Ray.
Yes.
And you've never been here before, though. So
no.
I want to congratulate you because you are no longer KMUN virgins. You came in a virgin. You go out de-virgined. So, you know, new experiences are rare to come by, although you guys did it. My guests, Dickie Dahl and Melissa Laurie, Crazy Possible, at the Sou'wester. You can go to Sou'wester Lodge to look it up. Do you have a website?
Yes, and you know, if you can't make it to this event, you can make it to crazypossible.com and watch all the episodes there.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming in. Stay tuned, folks. KMUN Astoria, 91.9 KTCB Tillamook, 89.5 coastradio.org. Don't forget to vote. Measure 101.